Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So lots and lots of things to talk about in the next short while. In fact, we have two guests in a studio, and we're going to be chatting to them about bearing witness. How do we bear witness to the whole, the events of October the 7th? And the two people in studio, Yifat Van Loen, and who's the manager of global activities at Israel Is, as well as Meirav Barel, who's managing social media and the digital campaigns. And it's an important aspect, because how do we tell these stories? How do we keep these stories relevant, and maybe without traumatizing anybody? Because, well, we already traumatized, but how do we tell the stories without, doing more damage? It's a very difficult one. We've seen the way in which the stories after the Holocaust were told, obviously a different time, but it took many, many years before people spoke about it. We know that many stories of people who went through their whole lives not telling their children about what they had endured, and only towards the end of their lives started bearing witness. Now, the reality is that those children knew something was wrong anyway. They knew inherently, just because of the damage that was done. This is a bit different. This was immediate, absolutely immediate. The denials were immediate, even though Hamas was filming it. The way in which it was reframed, or the attempts to reframe, were immediate, which obviously means that telling the stories is absolutely critical. How do we do that? Well, let's speak to those that are involved in it, and welcome to Chai FM.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
A great, great pleasure. So who wants to start and give me a bit of background as to what this is that you are doing in terms of telling the story?
Yeah, of course. So hi, everyone. My name is Yifat. We're part of Israel Is, which is an NGO that aims to share Israel's true image in the world through storytelling. We believe that person-to-person connections are the most powerful tool that we have, and a personal story is something that no one can argue with. We've been doing it since 2017, a long time before the war began. We've been traveling the world with diverse and young Israelis, trying to share the beautiful mosaic of the Israeli society, the reality which is not always easy, just with people.
So in other words, this isn't an October 7th thing. This started before, but yeah, Positioned you to be able to tell the story of October the 7th.
Exactly. Okay. And since October 7th, we try to focus on stories of survival and resilience. We do it in person with survivors that join us to delegations all over the world. We've been to over 60 college campuses already,
wow,
mainly in the U.S. and Canada. Next week in Australia, Bezrat Hashem. We did many, many delegations with communities, Jewish communities and non-Jewish communities, trying to spread the word, trying to share these stories with actually anyone who's willing to listen. And it's our first time here in South Africa, so that's very exciting. We just came back from Cape Town. We were there for four amazing days.
Incredible.
And just landed in Joburg, so we're very happy to be here.
What was the reception like in Cape Town?
So actually, we were quite surprised. We were all a bit concerned of coming here, because...
Coming to South Africa or coming to Cape Town?
To South Africa,
okay,
in general. Mm-hmm. You know how it, like, sounds.
How it's portrayed.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were told to like not like be very loud about that we're from Israel, and to be aware of everything. And we were quite surprised by the warm welcome we got from most of the people that heard that we're from Israel. They were like the support and the love and the hugs that we got, and every single people that we met, was it was very important for them to mention that the government is not the people.
You're going to hear that until you are sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
Because South Africans are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's so strange because we don't, and we aren't seeing the demonstrations, the anti-Semitism in the streets. We don't feel it here at all. And in fact, we feel the very, very opposite.
Yeah.
And yet we've got this government that is so hateful towards Israel and who embraces Iran. So it's the contrast is very strange. That said, Cape Town is much stronger in their anti-Israel sentiment than Johannesburg is. Johannesburg, certainly, we obviously are fully aware need to be aware of it, but it isn't as the same as Cape Town.
Yeah, obviously it depends on who is the audience. I mean, most of the Christian groups that we met were very, very supportive. They said they're praying for us every day, and
Amazing.
They were so excited to meet us and gave us gifts, and we're very, very happy to have the chance to speak to Israelis. Yesterday, we went to UCT, which was a little bit different. We were speaking to mostly Jewish students or like supportive students, and we felt the environment on campus is very different.
UCT is quite the place. In terms of telling the story, how are you telling the stories?
So we actually started on October 8th.
Wow.
On October 8th, I got a phone call from who used to be the person who used to be my commander in the military, and he now study at Harvard. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Mirav, I'm calling you because you're the first person that came up in my mind. I'm seeing what's going on campus, and I know that they're going to be like big balagan, and they don't understand what's going on in Israel, and we have to do something to tell the story firsthand before Hamas takes over the narrative." So, of course, as a worker of Israelis, I believe in personal stories, and I believe that a personal story can connect people more than ideas or ideologies. So we've decided to find testimonies from October 7th, and it was a day after, and to post it online somehow on a platform. So we thought about it, and I've decided to found an Instagram page called Survive to Tell. I really tried hard to find someone who will be able to tell me what he went through, because it was really hard to find people who could share.
Well, especially at that time, everybody's in the middle of
the trauma of the event. Of the event,
It wasn't over. Well, it's still not over, but
that's
a different story, right?
Yes. So I found three people who went to the Nova Festival. They were my age, so it was easy to approach them. I told them to take videos of themselves, gave them a few guiding questions, and edited it and translated to English, posted it. I went to sleep when the page had 80 followers, and I woke up the next morning with 14,000.
Wow.
And in 24 hours, we had 40,000. followers, and in 2.5 weeks we had 120 followers.
Makundi, so jealous right now. Am I right, Makundi?
If you need me for a social media advisor, I'll give you a good price. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah,
just
be careful, Makundi. Israelis are very good negotiators. Be very careful. No
problems. I think it just showed me that what I was doing in Israelis till that day, you know, it was a proof of that people really do seek personal stories to connect to. And the page is still running. There are more than 100 testimonies there. Go check it, Survive to Tell. And under that brand, we came here to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is not my first time.
Oh, okay.
I used to be a Shinshinit here in Joburg in 2017 in Victory Park, King David.
Incredible.
Yeah, we're going there today, so it's a massive closure for me.
Right, a full circle.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So we came with Survive to Tell project. later on, it became a more digital project, which Ifat can tell more about.
Yeah. So Ifat, what is the digital project?
Yeah, so as Marav said, we expanded the brand, and it all began actually on October 7th, when our CEO Nimrod was fighting as a first responder, like civilian responder, on October 7th. He knew many people down south, and he just took his pistol, went down, and got in some battles with terrorists. And as someone that is doing advocacy in his daily life, he had the thought while he's fighting that people in the world are just not going to believe what he sees in his own eyes. And he was trying to think what he could do and just started to film everything that he saw. And the days after, we were trying to think how we can make people see and believe with their own eyes. And this is how we came up with the VR program, the virtual reality, which is actually like VR headsets that bring to life five different stories of survivors and heroes from that day, with footage from the day and from the days following, seeing all the aftermath, listening to their testimonies, walking hand by hand with them. And actually, it gives you the experience as if you're touring the kibbutzim, seeing everything in your own eyes. And we're continuing on developing more stories. The five stories are, the first one is of Nimrod, which shares like the fighting and what he gone through the day. There is Ophir Engel, which is a former hostage that was released in the first children's deal. He was 17 when he was taken from his girl's friend's house in Kibbutz Be'eri, and thank God came back. There's two young women from the Nova Festival who I understood they already visited South Africa, Mazal and Milet. And there is Remo, who is a Muslim Bedouin police officer that saved many, many Israelis in the Nova Festival, actually with his private car doing back and forth.
I met him, actually.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I met with him when I was in Israel. Just an incredible, incredible,
incredible person. He comes with us to many of the delegations, actually all of them. And sometimes we go with other survivors and just give people the experience to do the VR and see it for themselves. And it's so powerful. Like
how traumatizing is it? If people are concerned, maybe for their kids, maybe for themselves, because whether we are many thousands of kilometers away or we are there, Jews around the world are traumatized. We are living through trauma, obviously not to the same extent that anybody there has who experienced it, but it's not easy for many of us. How difficult is this?
Yeah, so it's a good question. We were thinking about it a lot because on the first hand, you wanna show what happened. You don't want to sugarcoat it.
No, you can't.
And it's important that people see what it is. And at the same time, you want people to see it. And people are afraid. So we have two versions. One is a bit more censored. We do it in high schools from the age of 16 plus. And the other one is a bit more graphic, you could see some violence there, but it's not, both of them are very censored still.
Right.
Like it's not the horror movie of
the... Yes, especially because VR takes you into the experience from a... It immerses you in it, which I think does give such a very powerful and different understanding.
Yeah, you're part of it. It's not like watching a movie. Like you could look 360 around you. You hear the gunshots. You really feel there, and it's very scary, it's very powerful. Like I think every person that saw it and experienced it took it off with like tears or it's very moving.
Yeah.
It's very moving.
And more importantly, people that see it, they end the session with, you know, a call to action to pass forward the story and to tell other people. And we saw it more in the Christian groups, that they were shocked
Well, I think as well, because we're so immersed in it, and we've all got family and friends, and we're hearing the stories sometimes from a very personal aspect. Many of our Christian friends don't have that connection. So they're trying to find the news. It's difficult to find accurate news, and therefore it's hard for them to really understand or picture how real this is. And when they have access to this, it becomes very different.
Yeah, it's exactly actually what they told me after the session.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So that's, yeah, because, listen, many of our listeners are Christian supporters of Israel, so they will be able to relate very, very strongly to that which you've just said. So in fact, I'm going to experience that a little bit later today. I was going to say I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure if I am looking forward to it, but either way, it's these are the important.
I hope you had better VR experiences in your life before.
More pleasant ones, yes. None of them really ended well, but still, that is really where we do need to leave it. I know that you are going to you've got a very, very busy schedule, and I wish you luck here in South Africa. Thank you for taking the time to, well, come and visit us here in South Africa, share the stories, and of course share it with our Chai FM listeners. That is Yifat and Meirav, who are involved in the Israel Is program, telling the stories, telling the real stories of Israel. I'd love your thoughts. I'd love your reactions on 061-895-1019. Good morning.